With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Coming up on today's edition of the Chase Emotes podcast, FallQuest, Austin Price talking Emmanuel Okoye and his impact signing to join this 2023 Tennessee football recruiting class, where Tennessee stands with some five-star defensive linemen. Yeah, could they get them both? We talk about that, wide receiver room, who might still be around after this year, Mike Matthews, his recruitment, why Kellen Lindstrom might be a forgotten but underrated commit over the last month for Tennessee. All that and more coming up with FallQuest Austin Price. Uncle Darren, let's go.
Chase Thomas podcast. The Chase Thomas podcast. My nephew needs me to record. See, I already hate it.
All right, hello. Welcome back. Chase Thomas podcast. Taping this late on a Wednesday night. Last week when we had Brent Hubbs of FallQuest.com, we got into Andy Griffith, Matt Locke discussion. So anything's possible in these late night pods. I learned what a bushel of beans was from Brent, because didn't know that that was the way that you quantify how many beans are in a stalk. I thought it was a stalk. I don't know. I'm not ready for Coryton farm life. But Austin Price is here, who I don't think is going to go down the bushel of beans rabbit hole. I don't think that's his area of expertise. Austin, is that correct to surmise there?
I would say that's correct, yes.
Okay. Well, you just got back from what, Pebble Beach this past week?
Yeah, man. It's out in Pebble Beach. Had a chance to go out there and part one of my 40th birthday golf extravaganza. And so part two's next month.
There you go. What's your favorite part about turning 40?
Nothing.
Do you not like getting older, though? At least a little bit. There's not part of you that does enjoy it just a tad.
You know, I don't know. I guess I'm very reflective. You know, I kind of think big picture all the time. And I think the older you get, the more you think about your mortality. I had a buddy of mine when I turned 40. He was like, "Man, you know, do you think we're at the 50% mark?" And I said, "I don't know, Brent. I could be at the 40% mark. I could be at the 95% mark. I mean, I'm just trying to, you know, I'm just trying to live each day. Each day to the fullest is too big of a cliche, but I mean, I'm just trying to, you know, I'm trying to live. I'm going to go do things. I mean, you know, we're doing Alaska this summer, and we did, you know, my wife and I did Hawaii back in January. So, I mean, you know, we're just trying to go different places and see different things and take the kids along the way. Now, the kids did not go to Hawaii, but that was a COVID 10th anniversary trip that was postponed by a couple of years.
How was that received in the Price household?
The kids were not happy. Grandparents came through like a couple of two sets of champs and watched them while we were gone, and it was good for me and mama to get away.
There you go. But it's a whole family excursion to Alaska.
Yes, it is on that.
Okay. They're like, what happened here? What do we do wrong, Dad, that we get ousted from Hawaii and we're going to Alaska where we don't even know what time we're supposed to be up, when the sun's up, when the sun's down? They're wild moose. Are they into it? Are they excited for Alaska?
Yeah, you know, we did Yellowstone last summer, so okay. They're big into the animal encounters. So they're trying to go whale watching. That's something we did in Hawaii. And in theory,
very cool.
In theory, you know, I could see the same exact whale in Alaska that I saw in Hawaii, because, you know, they go down and breed in Hawaii and then come back and feed in Alaska.
Okay. So you're the whale guy. Now we know where to go to with any whale questions, FallQuest mailbaggers.
I just know more than this group, set of group, you know, breeds and then feeds. I love, you know, we saw moose last year. We saw, you know, a lot of black bear. We every time we happened to come upon a grizzly bear, it had just went into the woods or just went out of sight. And, you know, that was the one thing we missed out on at Yellowstone. But we saw everything else. We saw wolves hunt elk and all kinds of bison and coyotes and, you know, a lot of fun stuff.
Get close? Are you getting nervous? Like, are you ready? Like, what are you thinking when they're getting close to you in Yellowstone?
I get in my car. I'm not one of these people.
No pictures. No getting up. No selfies.
No, not selfies. No. Now, I'll take pictures. I'll take plenty of videos, but at a safe distance.
There you go. Well, Austin, speaking of just world traveling, the Tennessee Volunteers football team, they're world travelers on the recruiting trail because they get a big commitment, four-star athlete, I guess is the best way to describe it. Do you know how to pronounce his last name? Are we sure?
Yeah, it's Okoye.
It is Okoye. Okay. Very cool. So you get Okoye in here, who my uncles and all my Tennessee folks who are very excited. Just everyone's looking at the measurables. And I don't know if you're seeing that from Vol fans, where everyone's looking at the basketball videos. Everyone, because if you're a good basketball player, then it's like, oh, next Tony Gonzalez, next superstar tied in here. So who is Emmanuel Okoye, and how big of a commitment is it to get him also in 2023, where he can kind of just redshirt and hide out for a little bit and learn the game?
Yeah, I mean, I think, if you're getting anything out of him this year, one of two things has happened. It's a bonus. Mm. He's turned out to be way better than maybe anybody realized. And or you've had some injuries. You know, so, I think for the growth of him, you know, perfect world, you just kind of let him blend in. Maybe get him in a few games. That's the beautiful part of the four-game rule, and you know, kind of go from there. But, I mean, he is super long, super athletic. Now, again, does that equate to success? No. But there are some things that you can't teach, and he has those.
Is it – wait, so when you look at Manuel coming into the fold here, like, did you see him reclassifying? Was that something that was always kind of expected that he would do in this class?
Once he took his official visit, he told me that he was going to be a part of the 23 class.
Okay.
It was just about getting through his other officials and determining where he wanted to go. And the last few weeks, Tennessee's been the hard trend there. And, you know, we actually did his commitment interview before I left for Pebble Beach. And then, you know, he announced when the NFL Academy wanted him to, which was, on Wednesday.
Mm. Is there a chance he plays edge? Can you give me a percentage, though? I prefer a percentage here, Austin, which way he goes.
I don't want to get into percentages. I do think, you know, I think there's a chance he could play anything. Again, I've said for a while, I lean tight end. But at the same time, I mean, if he gets here and they need help at a particular spot, so let's say he starts on defense and they need help with tight end. That's why I lean tight end, just because they're a little bit thinner there on the whole than they are at edge. But, you know, let's say he starts a tight end and they need some help at edge, you know, you may see him end up there. I mean, again, I think that he's kind of a Swiss Army knife this first year as he figures out college life, as he figures out life in America, as he continues to figure out the game of football.
It is kind of funny that I think, like, Jonathan Echols coming in the fold, and where everyone, like, else wants him to be an edge, and he's at Tennessee, wants to be a tight end, and it's like, just wondering what those two guys might end up being at Tennessee. It's going to be really fascinating to monitor once they're on campus and they start going through drills and figuring out what where they fit, because two super athletes that a lot of Tennessee fans are very excited about. Does it change how Tennessee's looking at the 2024 tight end class, getting Okoye in 2023 at all, or no?
No.
Okay. Franklin, and also another name that I don't want to mispronounce it. You guys have talked about it on the podcast.
Williams Larry.
Yes.
Yeah.
If Franklin falls in the next week, or Franklin falls soon here for Tennessee, does that mean Williams is probably not happening, or is there still a chance that both happen here?
No, I think Tennessee would take both those kids in a heartbeat, not blink an eye. You know, you can never have too many good defensive linemen. And so, you know, that's kind of where I'm at with that. I mean, you know, Cam's a guy I think is going to take his visits, and we'll see where things go from there. I think there's still plenty of twists and turns in that one. And, you know, Winery, you know, he's a little more focused in. I mean, at Tennessee and Oklahoma, I mean, there's a few other schools that I think have a legit shot, but they'll have to really show well on their official visits. I think the Vols and Sooners have kind of stretched the legs out, you know, away from that pack behind them.
Who do you think is the leader in the pack right now as we're recording this on Wednesday night?
You know, I think Tennessee's had the momentum. I think he really likes the Vols. Again, if we were going percentages, I would go 51-49 Tennessee. But I think super close. It's super close, like Jaden Riddell, super close. You know, there's several of those that, you know, could go Tennessee's way, could not go Tennessee's way. And, again, it's not about getting them all. It's about getting your fair share.
Mm. What does that mean for the class? Like, let's just think that they get both here. Does that put them in the top five potential range for 2024 if they get both?
I mean, if you get both those kids and you somehow, you know, you land, you know, you land Amari Jefferson and then who knows who else at receiver. I mean, you know, a couple of good running backs, Payton Lewis and who knows who else. Sure. I mean, you know, Tennessee's going to be, you know, right up there, fringe top five. And that's without a marquee quarterback. And that's not those, you know, shade on Merklinger, because I think he's fantastic.
Still top 10.
He's just not rated number one like Nico was, right? So if you're a top five and you're without the number one overall player like you had a year ago, what's that mean you've done? You've increased your star rating or your average everywhere else, which is a great sign.
That's interesting. I am very curious to see what ultimately happens here. And it's just been kind of cool to see, because I think a lot of folks were kind of nervous about like how defensive recruiting was going to go in the Heupel era. And just you're seeing these names pop up and you're just like, oh, like Williams and Nwori, like he has not been on the radar, right? Like just it just kind of came out the last couple months where it was just the big name, just this five-star defensive lineman. You were like, Tennessee won't be in play for him. And then you just see and it's like, oh, it's between Tennessee and Oklahoma. And you're like, wait, what? That's cool. I'm excited for that.
Everybody had him pegged for Oklahoma. And then, you know, he just genuinely likes Tennessee. And all of a sudden they've risen up the ranks for him.
What do you think he likes most about Tennessee? Is it the scheme fit? Is it what he's seen? Is it the atmosphere? What do you think it is?
I think it's the people. I think he really likes the people here. And I think that resonates. And, you know, I think having Emmanuel Okoye, you know, I don't think that hurts either.
Who have you been most impressed with on the recruiting trail over the last year on this coaching staff?
You know, I think they kind of just do. I mean, it's been spurts, you know. I mean, you know, Halsley will have a good spurt, and Kelsey Pope will have a good spurt, and Brian Jean-Marie will have a good spurt, and Rodney Garner's kind of steady Eddie. And, I think, you know, Brian Jean-Marie does a really good job. He did a really good job last year. He's a nice compliment recruiter, too. Super intelligent, well-spoken. I think they they tandem recruit really well. I'm not sure that they have any, like, you know, just dogged recruiter. Everybody's going to say Rodney, and I get it. Rodney's been at a high level for 30 years. But, you know, I don't.
Maybe Willie.
Yeah, I mean, again, I think it's more they just tandem recruit really well.
Interesting. And it kind of speaks to the family atmosphere, right? Like they're all kind of on the same page, like, and it's just all across the board. It's more of a communal effort.
Yeah, 100%.
I like that. The next offensive commitment will be which position for Tennessee, do you think? Okay, how soon do you think?
Memorial Day weekend.
Okay. I like it. Matthews, Jefferson, Harrell, over under 1.5 end up in this class for Tennessee.
Man, that's tough. I want to lean over, but realistically, you could miss on all three, and realistically, you could hit on all three. And I know that's kind of in like both sides, but I mean, you know, that's why I think Jefferson's so important. He's an hour and a half down the road. You know, in-state kid, he's already committed here for baseball. You know, I think he's super, super important. And then if you can land one of the other two, I think you're rolling. And if you hold on to J.J. Harrell, great at that point. If not, you can go find somebody else. I mean, I don't really worry about receiver so much. Although I do think that with this class, you need to have a couple of high school kids, at least two, if not three, because, you know, you're likely going to lose Dante Thornton if he has any kind of good year like they're hoping he has. Ramel Keaton will be gone. Brew McCoy will be gone. So then it's kind of Squirrel White and then a bunch of unproven guys.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think that building through the prep ranks is the smart way. And then if you can cherry pick in a nice transfer like they did Thornton or Brew the last couple of years, then that's gold.
Do you think that's why Chaz Nimrod and Caleb Webb are still here? They just see the writing on the wall with the guys leaving after this year, and they're like, that we should have an opportunity for real next year.
Well, they're only at the end of their freshman year. I mean, well, yeah. You know, to leave would be dumb on their part. To leave on any freshman because they didn't play enough their freshman year, to me, is dumb.
Mm.
You're not giving it a real shot. You know, that's probably part of the problem I have with this generation is they're too quick to tuck tail. Like, I'm not saying that, like, you know, every situation is the perfect situation. And sometimes you get yourself into a situation that, you know, isn't best for you. But, you know, some of these kids, just because, you know, they're not given playing time right away, you know, they want instant gratification. You know, any kid that leaves that quick, it's either because, you know, they got frustrated, somebody got in their ear or something. I mean, it's, again, like, you know, those guys should still be here. They just wrapped up their freshman year and they're heading into their sophomore year. Now, if they don't play much this fall and they won't look at leaving after this fall, then sure. Like, you know.
But even if they see, even if they don't play, you could still pitch. Like, there's a lot of dudes moving out the door here.
There is, and that's right. And, again, I think that's why, you know, your receiver rotation has to be a little bigger. Can Chaz Nimrod give you what Ramel Keaton gave you last year? Remember, I mean, Ramel was realistically the fourth receiver, right? Like, it was really Sed, Brew, Jalen. And then Ramel ended up getting extra playing time because Sed's injury. Can Chaz Nimrod give you that? Or similar production to what Squirrel White did? It'll just be out of a different position as far as reps. So, you know, I think, you know, those couple of guys, you know, Nathan Leacock as well as a true freshman, you know, they need to spend this year really focused on improving, getting better, see what they can get as far as playing time, and, you know, work to be the guys in 2024.
How big is it that Mike Matthews is going to Tennessee last for his official visit?
I'm not sure. Sometimes that last visit is huge, right? And sometimes it just doesn't matter. I'm not sure it matters in this recruitment. I think he likes Tennessee a ton. You know, if you ask me who his top teams would be, I would tell you USC and Tennessee, Clemson, kind of the three. Clemson, a lot of people thought it was Tennessee and Clemson, but it seems like USC's kind of caught and passed the Tigers. Tennessee seems to be the one constant.
So it's either like if he says close to home, it might be Tennessee. If he's okay leaving, going across the country, it's USC.
Yeah, I think so. I think it's a good way to put it.
Interesting. Makes me feel good. Also, I'm a Parkview alum. We went to the same high school. Like, all things are good here and on Orange. There's the Orange checkerboard in the Parkview end zone. Like, he's already gotten used to it.
By the way, the last time we did this, was your head buzzed as much as it is now?
Yeah.
But you weren't wearing glasses then. You look different.
The glasses are different. So I'm wearing like I guess I'm doing the Paul Feinbaum thing. You never know what pair of glasses that I'm going to be wearing on any particular interview here, Austin.
You just go to Costco and get a bunch of readers.
Oh, actually, I have Warby Parker. I'm very particular about my frames, Austin. Very particular. Can't do it. And I'm not old enough for readers yet. I'm not at the point where I need readers. It's just no context right now.
About my polos. If you saw me walk into one of these pro shops, they're like, I'm like, where's your Peter Millar? And they're like, there it is. And I'm like, that's not a very big Peter Millar section. You know, like, I don't care about your Nike shirts over here in the corner. Give me the good stuff.
What's your, like, if you had to buy anything in bulk at Costco, anyone who knows you, what would they guess is the thing that you would buy in bulk from Costco?
Man, I don't know. That's a good question. I don't know. I don't know if there's anything I buy in bulk. You know, I mean, I bought TVs at Costco.
Plural.
You know, food yeah. items. They have those waffles that have the little chunks of vanilla in them.
Okay. There you go.
Good.
Also, Costco is the sneaky best lunch option. Like the dollar slices, dollar hot dogs. Like I don't know how they make money.
Them and Sam's Club, you can eat there really cheap.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Kel Lindstrom, was he a sneaky under the radar guy that folks need to remember going into the next couple of years of Tennessee, where it's like he just kind of is in the middle here, but he was a pretty big name and he has a lot of upside? Do you think he's someone that Tennessee fans might overlook with some of the bigger names in this class?
Yeah, I mean, it's easy to, right? I mean, everybody's going to think about Winery and think about, you know, Cam Franklin or some of these other edge guys. Lindstrom just kind of steady Eddie. You know, commits early, doesn't want all the pizzazz, you know, just kind of, you know, goes about his work and, you know, gets it done. So, yeah, I mean, I think that's definitely a guy Tennessee fans should be paying attention to long term.
Last thing here on Tennessee, and we'll wrap up here, Austin. Memorial Day, the whatever it's called, the Palooza that's going on.
865 Live this year, but that just, you know, I don't like that name either.
They're just making up as they go. They're just throwing stuff at the dartboard and hoping one of these sticks one of these years. It really doesn't matter, right? The main thing is getting kids on campus. Like that's
right. It doesn't matter. You're right. They can just call it recruiting weekend. and that, as long as they're getting, you know, a bunch of these 4 and 5 star guys here, that's all that matters.
What's the most surprising part about that? Because I feel like that's the one event every year now that Tennessee fans know happens on campus and it's like a big recruiting thing. What's one thing that goes on that's kind of important for recruiting?
What do you mean?
Like just in terms of like the weekend and what the Tennessee puts on for the kids and what's involved.
Man. I mean, they go over to the golf facility. They did that last year.
Huh.
You know, they just do different things and, you know, and so it's more of a, just a big hangout family, let's get to know each other. It's very little about the recruiting process. You know, if Alec Gablin's hanging out with Jonathan Eccles or Jaden Riddell, I don't think he's going full in on, hey, listen, here's our opportunity. This is why we're the pick. This is why we should hold on to you, Eccles, or this is why we should land you, Jaden. Like, it's more just kind of like, hey, let's get to know each other. Let's hang out and have some fun, do some different things. And kids love that kind of stuff. I mean, all athletes think that they're golfers. $1 for every time that a high school football player told me he was good at golf. And then I'm like, oh, let's see you swing one. And then they do. And you're like, yeah, that's not it.
Who's the best one you've seen recently?
Golfers?
Mm.
And normally it's kickers.
Huh.
You know, specialists are normally pretty good at golf. That and quarterbacks.
Yeah.
You know.
Does Nico golf?
No, he does not. Worley did.
Okay.
You know, when he was here, and he could really pound it. I watched him about drive the 13th hole at Holston Hills a few years ago. I mean, he was pretty good golfer for a guy who had not taken the game up, you know, that long ago.
Does Heupel golf? Does he have time for anything?
You know, he has time.
Ooh.
You know, in May to do a lot of things. But he's more of he's a football junkie, man. That's all he wants to do. So he's in the office a lot. So when he gets out and, you know, he goes out and hits balls or goes out and plays 9 holes with his daughter.
Mm.
He plays golf and really enjoys it. So he plays, but it's more recreational with the family member. He doesn't play, you know, just regular rounds of golf.
We're not going to see him at a charity golf event.
I don't think so.
Interesting. All right. Well, I like it. VolQuest.com, Austin Price, always a pleasure. As we go here, though, we always got to get a new fact here, Austin, from the different folks over at VolQuest. Brent and I, we had a lot of fun at the last like 15 minutes of our show. We're not going to go that long. Just Brent just busting my chops about my Matlock photo, the Andy Griffith stuff and all that. But my question is, what's your nightly routine, Austin? Like, are you a night owl like Brent? Brent's over here till 2. What are you doing?
I'm a huge night owl. I go to bed anywhere between 12:30 and 2:30.
Okay.
And then, you know, but I wake up with my kids at 6:15, 6:30 to get away for school. So,
are you getting a nap in during the day?
Very rarely. Very rarely.
Man.
Occasionally does happen. But okay. Rare. My wife thinks I do, but too many phone calls.
Yeah.
But you know, I do, and I'm big into NCIS.
Okay.
I love NCIS. I could watch, you know, I could just, you know, I could watch Gibbs and Dinozzo and all those characters.
Are you watching it post Gibbs?
I am. I didn't think it could last, but it's still good. Is it Gary
Cole? Coleman?
Yeah, or Gary? Yeah, yeah, he's done a fabulous job on there, and they've done a nice job with the cast. So I've enjoyed that very much so. And then you know, it's been good. I've enjoyed the relaunch of CSI Vegas.
Okay.
You know, but I love Andy Griffith. As a kid, I love Dukes of Hazzard, love Saved by the Bell. You know, I enjoy TV. I love 24. That's probably my all-time favorite show.
Okay.
Big Jack Bauer guy. You know, but so I enjoy television. I enjoy the characters. I always laugh on the general's quarters, like when they're talking about a movie or whatever, and they'll be like, oh, the character arc, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, shut up. I'm like, character arc. I'm like, did it how I view it is, I look at character arcs on TV shows. In movies, I just look, did it entertain me? Was it entertaining? Like, I went and took the kids to Guardians of the Galaxy 3. I thought it was good, not great.
Okay. It's 3 hours, right?
Like 2.5.
Tough sell for me.
For a trilogy ender. I thought it was good, not great, you know. But it still entertained me. It kept my attention, and the latest Top Gun was fantastic. That thing drew so many rave reviews, but it was justifiably so. The music, the characters, how it was written, all that.
Interesting. Okay, are you a big? We have the Regal Unlimited, so we're always popping in. You might see me at any time, like at any movie. So. I'm there all the time. Big movie guy. But are you at the movies all that often, or is it just
really no, man? I'm not. I mean, I'll take the kids. Like, I would go watch this new Mario movie out just because. I mean, that a lot of people are saying, you know, if you grew up in that generation, like it's very nostalgic. You know, and
are you a Mario guy? Did you play Super Nintendo?
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
Okay,
I'm big on nostalgia. Like,
okay,
you know, like when they did like. When they do like I won't say a reboot, but like when they do like a reunion thing, like I sound like Dukes of Hazzard or Andy Griffith, and those are two shows that, you know, 20 years after they ended, they came back and did like a 2-hour special, like, you know, like
you're in.
Yeah. And man, I'm in on those things, man. Mm. I mean, I love that stuff. It doesn't matter if it's not what it once was, you know, it honestly takes me back to when the world was a better place. World right now sucks. So look at all the stuff that's going on around us. You know, like I'm seriously, I can watch I'll get on my Facebook page and there's like, there's some channel on Facebook that like, you know, they'll post Dukes of Hazzard episodes or Andy episodes. And I just watch those and I'm like, man, like the world was just a better place back then. Like,
yeah,
you know, take me back to the 80s, take me back to the 60s. You know, okay. Don't get me wrong. I know there's civil rights movements in the 60s and stuff like that too. Yeah. You know, I just, you know, we're in a world where it's, every day I shake my head at the stuff that goes on both sides of the aisle.
I want that clip to be the opener of all my episodes now. The world sucks. It's just the deadpan, Austin. That was funny. I did not see that coming. I love it. So Austin Priceless on Twitter. Find all the good folks over there at VolQuest.com. Make sure that you are tweeting and posting on the General's Quarters as much as possible about some percentages going into Memorial Day weekend. For Austin, he can never get enough of those kind of questions. Austin, thank you so much for the time as always, and I hope to talk to you again soon.
Appreciate it, Chase. Thank you, buddy.
Nicely done, nephew. Chase Thomas Podcast. Hell yeah.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Late bloomers tend to have more curiosity. They tend to have more resilience.
There are stories and mythology that this country has woven around Black men.
This is the cavalry, right? These are the leaders, the hometown heroes and local leaders. And we are.
It's a survival mechanism to just be like, worry of the police.
What if everything we've been taught is just all wrong?
What's worth more than this fear right now?
And that rising after failure is part of the glory of being a human being.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.